Well, today's scripture is comes from Old Testament, from 1 Samuel, and about Hannah being a mother of prayer. Now, she was in a little different situation than most of us, thinking about background and situation, because her husband had two wives. She was one of two. And so she had a rival, and her rival, so to speak, had giving you a little background here, a little context, helps you understand it, had children, many children, and the Lord had not opened her womb yet. And she had not been able to have children. And so every year when her husband went up to the temple to worship, he took a double portion because it was hard for her because she didn't have children. And so what happens when there's a great need in our lives? At least what should happen. We become, especially as Christians, we become a greater person of prayer, don't we? If we have a need in our lives, we usually end up praying harder for that, to meet that need. And that's the way it is with Hannah. So if you look at the 1 Samuel, and let's go on to verses 9 through 20, and I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, "Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish," she's upset, "Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. And then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head.' And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.' And Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.' She said, 'May your servant find favor in your eyes.' And she went on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Wow, that's a powerful passage of Scripture. And so today we want to, we look at that context. There's a lot going on. And Anna, her womb had been closed and she wanted a baby so bad. And her rival had more than one child and would kind of push that in her face and it upset her. And she just prayed. So the need was there. The need for a child. And so that's an important piece. Hannah is a mother of prayer. She teaches us, three different aspects of prayer, or three different things. We can read this passage and walk away with three different things, or three different aspects about prayer. And so today I want you to remember three different words. Easy. First one is God hears our prayers. And that first word would be hear. God does hear us. Now, the hard part about that is sometimes we don't think he does. Sometimes you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and sometimes you prayed for many, many years, maybe 20 years, maybe more. I knew a person who used to keep a prayer list that for salvation for people, and sometimes those people were on that list for more than 20 years. And of course, he was always answering the prayers, but of course, we like to think he answers the way we want them answered. But through the years, if you'll keep a prayer journal, you'll find that he does answer those prayers. Sometimes it's not yes, sometimes it's no, but he does always hear our prayers. Just because we don't get an immediate response doesn't mean he doesn't hear. Hearing is important, and God hears everything, even our whispers, or even if we don't vocalize it loudly. I love this part with it, you know, because she is praying from her heart and her lips are moving, but she's not audible about it, and yet God hears it. God is so big. This is what I love about God. He's so big that he hears prayers from everyone all over the world. You think people aren't praying at the same time? We couldn't sort it out, could we? But he can, because he's that big. He's that big. But perception is an important piece. Now, Eli, him and his sons, sometimes they had problems with drinking themselves. But I thought it was interesting that he perceived, oh, maybe she's drunk. Perception, we perceive things sometimes and have no idea of what's really going on. Is that not true? We think we know because we see this over here, or we see this over here. But we don't always have all the facts, do we, in life? And so we perceive things are one way, but they could be a totally different way. And I think that's important to understand, because God, he hears everything, he knows everything, and there was perception can be misleading to us as humans. That's why I think media is scary, because they want you to perceive things a certain way, and they could be a totally different way. True? Sure. Sometimes, you know, I like to watch some stuff on PBS, but sometimes I like to call PBS the, propaganda. Instead of public broadcasting, it's propaganda broadcasting for me sometimes, because sometimes it's so left, and I'm thinking, you're not sharing the other side, you know? So I call PBS the propaganda. That's probably not very respectful, but our perception. And so, you know, like our government wants us to have a perception. I smile when they say, oh, you're not in a recession. Yes, we have been in a recession. You keep printing that money, you know? It's interesting. Perception is not everything. In fact, we've got to be very careful about perception. And here in the text, there was a perception problem. Eli said, oh, put away your drink. It wasn't about drink. And God knew it. And God heard her prayer. And so when you have prayers, remember, God can sort it out, and God hears your prayers. He doesn't have to go by perception. He knows the truth. And he knows your heart. And he knew Hannah's heart. And so when she was praying, he knew her heart and he answered and blessed. So important. Perception. There was another mother in history. Maybe you've heard of St. Augustine. His mother interceded for him. Here's an interesting question. How many of you mothers have interceded for your children, prayed for them? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, I'd say most mothers do. I mean, their children are everything to them. Probably, I hate to say it, guys, their children might mean more to them than we do. I mean, there's just something about it. They've conceived and they've carried that child within them. I don't think we understand how that is. So anyway, Augustine, her mother interceded. The church father, Augustine, writes of an important role played by his mother's faithful intercession, or you could use the word prayer there, for him during his years of waywardness. Now, we always pray for our children, but when they are wayward, we're praying even harder, aren't we? Sure we are. My mother asked a bishop in his kindness to have some discussion with me, to refute my errors, to unteach me what was evil and teach me what was good. Teaching, that's interesting. Put prayer with teaching. Boy, you got some power going on. He refused. He told her that I was yet to not ripe for teaching. And I tell you one thing, it's important. Teach them when they're young. Scripture supports this. And they won't depart from it. They will come back. Children are far more riper than most adults because adults become harder in their hearts because they've been exposed to the world and the culture more. And so, anyway, but he said, let him alone. Only pray to the Lord for him, and he will himself discover by reading what his error is. My mother would not be satisfied, but urged him to repeat entreaties and floods of tears to see me and discuss with me. You know, she wasn't going to give up just, you know, at the bishop's, you know, it's more than just a pastor or a bishop. She's proceeding to God and saying, God, please, this is my son. He, losing patience, says, go on your way and assures you as you live, impossible, that the son of these tears should perish, meaning that he won't perish. And he didn't. He became a great church leader. But he became a church leader, a great church leader, because of the bishop? I don't think so. I think it's because of the mother's prayers. The mother's prayers. Your prayers, God hears your prayers, and they are important. Now, if it's Father's Day, I'd say, Dad, he hears your prayers too. He hears all of our prayers. But he, from this text, we're talking about Hannah, and he heard her prayer. So the first word was hear. God hears. The second word I want you to do is the word remember. If you notice in the text, it says it more than once. God remembers your prayers. He remembers. He doesn't forget. God does not have Alzheimer's or dementia. God remembers. And this passage is a great illustration of that, you know, because it says, the God of Israel grants you what you have asked of him in verse 17. But then if you go down to verse 19, it says, the Lord remembered her. And Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And his name Samuel, because I have asked of the Lord of him. You know, it's an amazing passage. And Samuel becomes a very important person throughout Scripture. But God remembered Hannah's prayers, and he answered and opened her womb that she might be a mother. So we need to teach that God remembers. And it's on his terms, not ours. Because we always want to make it about our terms, our time. God, do it in this time period. Well, maybe it's not going to be in your time period. Maybe it's going to be in his time period because he's the one that's ultimately in control, always. I love the story about babies. Everybody like newborn babies? Sure we do. Love to hold them. Yeah, well, here's one. A newborn baby cries frequently when he or she has needs. And the mother comes in immediately, day or night, to fulfill those needs. Thus, children learn to cry when their mother is present. Okay. Later, mother comes, but does not pick up the child. She only softly says, hush, child, sings a little lullaby, you know, go back to sleep. Later, she may not even come in every time, but the feelings of abandonment lessen as he or she learns that mother will always come in the morning. In the process, all babies learn that they cannot manipulate their mother. That's what they try to do. Especially one who diminishes between her distinguishes between her baby's needs and her wants. You know, that's a big thing. Children can't distinguish always needs versus wants. Parent can. So it is with prayer. Now you got to think about prayer. This is about prayer. And when we are young believers, God often answers our prayers quickly. We need that. Later, as we mature, He uses sometimes unanswered prayer, or He's waiting, as a means of teaching us to rely on Him. We have to live by faith. We have to rely on Him. He knows our real needs, and who's always faithful? God, because God remembers. But that remembering doesn't always happen immediately. It's in God's time. So God hears our prayers, and God remembers. He will answer your prayers. And I hate to say, sometimes it is no. Sometimes it is no. Yeah. And the third word is ask. God likes it when we ask. He likes to hear our voice. He likes to hear our heart. He loves it when you ask Him. Now, did God need us? No, but He still loves it anyway. He loves it when you say, when you're praying to Him, when you worship Him, when you say, God, please. Scriptures for this. Actually, I went to the New Testament here. If you go to Matthew, what we call the Lord's Prayer, there's an expectation. God expects you to pray. God expects you to ask. In Matthew 6, He says in verse 5, He says, and when you pray, He expects you to pray. He expects you to ask. And in verse 6 is, and when you pray, you go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And in verse 7, here's the same word. When? And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. But He does want you to ask. It's important. He's expecting. He says, and when you pray, it's really important that we realize that He expects us to ask. So important. If we jumped over to chapter 7, you know, He's all about, 6 and 7 is really all about prayer of Matthew. But in 7:7, He goes on and talks about our expecting to ask. It's in fact, it's subtitled my Bible, Ask, Seek, Knock. You're familiar with that, right? But we don't do it enough, do we? Should be part of our day, every day, to ask, seek, and knock. In verse 7 of 7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, see, there's that word, receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And I like the part down below where it says, in verse 11 at the end of heaven, your Father in heaven gives good gifts to those who, what? Ask. Yeah. So He's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. It's going to give you a good gift. And it's with the exclamation mark. Remember that. So three words. He hears, He what?
Remembers,
and we are to?
Ask.
So if you walk away today, you should be able to remember those things, those three things. Hear, remember, ask. And it needs to be a part of your day, every day. Because it's all about relationship again, isn't it? It's all about relationship every time. It's so important that we realize that. As we look at outcomes and as we turn to God when we're praying, it could be like this. As I draw close to a conclusion here, when Edmund gravely died at the controls of his small plane, oh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Well, on the way to Statesboro, Georgia, from a Rocky Mountain Wilson Airport in North Carolina, his wife, Janice, kept the plane aloft for 2 hours. So she kept it flying for 2 hours. And as the plane crossed the South Carolina, the North Carolina border, she radioed for help. Help, help! Won't someone help me? My wife is unconscious. Authorities who picked up on her distress signal were not able to reach her by radio during the flight because she kept what? Changing channels. Eventually, Mrs. Gravely made a rough landing and had to crawl for 45 minutes to a farmhouse for help. Wow, can you imagine? I can't. One, just to be brave enough to get it landed and then to crawl like that. But here's the thought, the outcome, or the conclusion. How often, as God's people, as not just mothers, but as God's people, do we cry out for Him to help us, but switch channels before the message comes through? That happens all the time, doesn't it? They turn over to other sources for help. And we might even pray, but then we don't trust by faith our prayers, and we go start making phone calls and asking this person or that person. And then we say, well, it's like we're not trusting God. We start looking for human guidance. When you cry out to God, or when you pray out to God for His intervention, believe and trust. Have faith. God hears, remembers, ask. Amen? Amen. As we prepare for our invitation, Em, won't you stand with me? And sing with me, and sing it to the Lord, because He is such a great God, and He hears every prayer and every answer. As we sing, sing it to Him, and be a person of prayer. And mothers, we know that you pray, and we believe you're going to continue to pray, but all of us need to be people of prayer. So let's sing this to the Lord as we sing our invitation. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You hear our prayers and that You remember. We are so glad that You want us to ask, and we do ask. And Lord, we ask for our children. We ask for this church body that You'd continue to bless it and increase it in number. We know that You love this church. love this body, that you love each one of us personally, each one here. We thank you that you love us personally. Be with us as we go. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I think our sister Sue here, Fox, working with the shepherding committee, she has flowers for all you ladies. So as you go out, connect there at the Welcome Center. Anything else I need to add to that? That's it? That's good. Okay. Thank you.